So the introduction to today is if you knew that Jesus would return tomorrow, would you live the rest of your day any differently? And I think from some of your faces, that is the case, that you would live perhaps your day slightly differently. Now we're going to look at the three C's. What are the three C's? Context, yes. Content, and then contribution. You see, you're brilliant, you're marvellous, all right? So we're going to look at the context now of the passage that we are in. Now, we have discovered in the first few verses, and in each session that we've done this, the point of revelation is to bless us, not to make us scared, not to make us fearful, not to be curious, but to literally bless us, because the purpose of the revelations of Jesus Christ from God to us is to bless those who read it aloud, hear it, and take it to heart. In other words, the point of the book of Revelation is to transform our hearts, and I pray that that is the case as we look through the book of Revelation. And what he's revealed so far is he's revealed more about Jesus' worthiness. Do you remember the sort of, you know, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Holy, holy are you, God. Who can open the scroll? Oh my goodness, Jesus can, because of who he is. And the protection that he offers the saints. What we're going to look at today is what happens to those who've taken the mark of the beast. In other words, those who have chosen to worship someone other than God. And what we've discovered is our mission. But today we're going to look at the passage about deliverance from evil. And so the context still is, remember, the seven is a key number in the book of Revelation. We have done the seven seals, where we saw a measure of God's wrath or judgment poured out until the final seal is opened and Christ returns. But remember, it's like watching a football match. You've got, you know, the seven seals happening at the seven trumpets, and today we're going to look at the seven bowls. They're all happening at the same time, but different angles. In other words, Christ doesn't come three times. So at the end of the seven seals, Christ comes, yeah? But we know that that's just one angle, all right? And then we also have the seven trumpets. And we saw again God's wrath, the time poured out as a warning to the nations that there will be a final judgment. And when the final trumpet sounds, it will herald in the kingdom of Christ, putting an end to the kingdoms of this world. And so we saw that the seals impacted a quarter of the earth, and we saw the trumpets impact a third of the earth. Are you with me so far? Yeah, so we've had that, we've looked at that, we've looked at the seven trumpets. And so what we're looking at today is the seven bowls or plagues. So they're bowls of plagues that are going to be poured out. So the trumpets were designed to warn people, to say, hey guys, look, this is what I'm doing, so that you repent and you turn to me. You realize that I am God. And it's exactly the same as what happened in Egypt. Think about it, yeah? Evil Pharaoh, evil on the earth, yeah? And the idea is that just like the plagues in Egypt, the bowls are designed to show God can defeat any earthly god and will judge anyone who does not recognize him as the creator of all. And he will also bring his righteous judgment on those who oppress people and worship the beast. Yeah? Same as in what we've just discussed in Exodus, this is what's happening now in these two chapters in the book of Revelation. So we know, we've learned about Jesus, Holy Spirit, and we've learned about God in Revelation, and also we've learned so far in the book of Revelation that there is like an unholy trinity in the book of Revelation. And there's the beast from the abyss or beast from the sea that attacks those who witness, who share their testimony, and who prophesy. And if you want to know more about the beast of the sea, look at Daniel 7. And then there's the dragon, tried to devour the pregnant woman, if you remember the story as you've read the book. In other words, Satan is always trying to kill the children, yeah? Because he hates anyone made in the image of God. And we saw that in Exodus, didn't we? The killing of babies. We saw it when Jesus was born, the killing of babies. We see it now, the killing of babies. And that is what the dragon's role is, yeah? To attack those women who are pregnant. But God rescued the woman and child we discovered in the previous chapters. And we know that this one was specifically talking about Jesus. He was rescued. He was not taken by the dragon. And so the dragon continues to go after those who follow the commands of Jesus. And then there's the false prophet or the beast of the earth who performs the signs on behalf of the beast. Do you remember in the book of Exodus, the first three miracles they were able to mimic, and after that they couldn't? Do you remember that? That they, you know, the magicians could do that. In other words, there are false prophets out there who can do certain things but not others. But what the Lord proved in Exodus that is he can decreate and recreate. Whereas these guys could only create, they couldn't decreate. Are you with me so far? Yeah? Excellent. Okay, so now we can look at the content. That's the context. Let's look at the content. And I hope those of you who have been with me and listening to about Exodus, it's a repeat. Do you know what I mean? So you may, if you need to, go to sleep, but it's a repeat story here. Yeah? So John is reminding the people here in the book of Revelation who are groaning against the Roman oppression. So there's people crying out and groaning against the Romans who are oppressing them. And he's reminding them through this part of the book of Revelation, through this vision where he's been captured up to heaven, he's saying, God will deliver you from evil. Justice will prevail. They will be redeemed and accepted into God's kingdom of love forever. These people are being under tribulation, persecution, suffering, and even martyred. So just as in Exodus, a story they know so well. Why? Because they celebrated it every Passover. Yeah? So he's, you know, God is giving them an analogy. John is giving them the same analogy. Just saying, hey, remember the Passover meal you did last year or even this year? This is what this story is about. This is what the vision in heaven is about. And so John is reminding them of the history. And again, what we have is in response to the cries and groans of the Israelites in Egypt, God remembered his covenant with them and sent a deliverer in the form of the shepherd Moses. Now, in response to the cries and groans of God's people, in response to the tribulation they are facing under the Roman oppression, God sends the Lamb. Jesus, the Son of God, to deliver his people from evil, to redeem them, accept them into his kingdom of love. God revealed himself, his presence, his power, and his promises to the people of Israel through the plagues. He defeated the Egyptian gods, revealed his glory, and called his people out to be separate, to be sanctified. He says, I'm separating you out. Remember this from the four cups that we drank at the Passover meal? First one, you're sanctified, yeah? The second cup was deliverance from evil, and we celebrated that. But did you remember you dipped your knife in to say, yes, we were delivered from evil, but there was people who still suffered because they chose to follow Pharaoh and his ways. And he redeemed or rescued us from our oppressors. Remember the parting of the sea and then the complete and utter deliverance of the Israelites from those who were oppressing them. And then the final stage, remember the final cup after the meal that we drank was about acceptance. Acceptance as God's royal priesthood, his holy nation. First time that comes up is in Exodus. And here again, this is the story that is being repeated in Revelation. So in Revelation, God again sends plagues to wake the people up to who he is, giving them ample opportunities to receive his grace and mercy. He is showing once again that he is Almighty God. Not one of the gods that people worship, but God Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega, the creator of the universe. A God who is not only all-powerful, but a God who loves the world so much that he offers his grace and mercy to provide for people a way out. Think about Exodus. How many times did the Lord provide a way out? Some of them took it, some of them didn't. The Lord is constantly providing everyone here a way out. Your friends, your family, he's constantly trying to say to them, hey guys, my grace and mercy is available for you. You can avoid my wrath. And remember, I always like to put justice in the place of the word wrath, because his kind of justice is so different to what we think about wrath to be. And so we can avoid his wrath and receive his blessing. That's the point of this book. That's the point. Do you want his blessing or do you want to receive his justice, his wrath? Your choice. But just like Pharaoh and most of the people in Egypt, what did they choose to do? What did Pharaoh choose to do? Yeah, harden his heart. Yeah? And the people continue to oppress. And what we discover is that despite our best efforts, people still harden their hearts. They still choose to partner with evil instead of good. But the beauty of this part of Revelation is, remember that Pharaoh, that part of evil and those gods were destroyed. What we discover in the book of Revelation is the fact that it's not just a defeat of the beast, but it's a complete and utter annihilation of evil. There is a new heaven and a new earth, and the earth is sanctified. That's an incredibly good news story. It's a good news story for us, but it's not necessarily a good news story for those who have taken the mark of the beast or chosen to worship something other than God. And so what we have is the righteousness of God is revealed here. And I don't know about you, but sometimes people really struggle with the wrath of God in the Old Testament and the wrath of God in the New Testament. But if we think about it, it's justice. He's bringing about his justice for those who've been oppressed. He's bringing about his justice. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful for the day when evil is wiped out. Out of me and out of this planet. Yeah? And so to me, his wrath is an act of doing the right thing. His righteousness, his wrath, is not about rage. Remember that, it's not about rage, but it's about doing what is right. And so we come to the bowls. Maybe you remember earlier, or maybe you've sung this song about the incense of the prayers go up of the saints, do you remember? And so there's a tabernacle in heaven. And in that tabernacle, there's bowls. And as we pray for justice, as we pray for those who are persecuted, as we pray for the evil to be limited in this world, these bowls are filled up with the prayers of the saints. Do you remember the story? And then as those prayers are filled up, now God says, now's the time. I'm going to take those bowls, and I'm now going to start pouring them out in terms of my justice over the earth. I am going to do something in response to your prayers, and I'm going to do it now. And this final phrase, or phase, of his wrath being delivered, is the last part of this kind of thing happening, because through the bowls he cleanses creation, and we are able to enter the sanctuary. So hopefully, again, having studied Exodus, you recognize every single one of these. You're like, oh, repeat performance here. All right, so the first is a plague of boils, yeah? And we saw that before. But remember, this is on those who have the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not a form of protection. The mark of the beast. So just as the magicians in Pharaoh's court could not protect the Egyptian people from the boils, yeah? Neither can the mark of the beast protect the sinful people from God's judgment. Sinful because they chose the mark of the beast. They chose to partner with these gods of this world. I mean, today maybe the god is science. There is no conflict between science and religion, but people still think there is. There are so many scientists, top scientists, going around saying, this is just a lie from Satan. Yeah? This is just a lie from Satan. Which god are you worshipping? Which are you saying this is the truth? Yeah? Almighty God or some other god are you worshipping? The second one is the sea turned to blood and every living thing dies in the sea. So just as Egypt, the Nile was turned to blood. And this was in retribution. Remember, this is the righteous act of God because all these babies had been thrown into the Nile and their blood filled the waters. He's saying, I will do like for like. Yeah, the sea is now turned to blood. Decreation, showing those who worship earthly things, you can't rely on them. We can only rely on God, the bread of life, the one who upholds all things by his word. I mean, you know, think of the things that are going around the world at the moment, in Ukraine and in Gaza that we know of on the news. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And if you're relying on those things, whereas a beautiful prayer from Louise earlier, our God doesn't change. Our God is good. Our God is righteous. And then we find again that the rivers and the springs also turn to blood. There is no water to drink. This is the judgment. And obviously these numbers aren't in the book of Revelation, but I looked it up on the site that marks this. Since Jesus' resurrection and ascension, 70 million Christians have been martyred. This is God saying enough is enough. 70 million Christians have been martyred. Over 365 million Christians were persecuted last year. 365 million Christians last year. God says enough is enough. Because he is true and just in all his ways. And then the fourth one is that the sun scorches the earth. And yet rather than turn to God still. So even though science and all their, you know, their God, i.e. the 666 mark, none of this is saving them from this attack, in a sense, or decreation. The sun begins to scorch the earth, and yet people say, no, I still am going to want to do my evil ways. No to God. And then darkness covers the area and brings fear and anxiety, yet still people refuse to repent. But John has already told us about this, hasn't he? He said, light has come into the world in the very form of Jesus Christ, in the form of his kingdom now and not yet. But the people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. See, God, once again here, is he's revealed these false gods. He's revealed that you partner with them. These false gods have no power over him. He is Almighty God. And then finally, number six, the water dried up in the river Euphrates. Now remember, these are symbolisms. These are all symbolisms, all right? But the idea is the symbolism, the place where the people of Israel were attacked. And you know, in the book it's called Armageddon. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've seen and heard movies about Armageddon. Do you know what I mean? But the idea is that this was actually a good place for the Israelites. They weren't thinking, the Jews weren't thinking, oh my goodness, Armageddon. They're thinking, oh, that's the place of Mount Megiddo, a place where Israel's history says every time somebody oppressed us, every time false prophets tried to attack us, what did God do? Delivered them. So the place of Armageddon isn't a negative place for us. It's a place where the Jews would have known that they were delivered. I mean, if I say to you, the 1066, the Battle of Hastings, you know the outcome, don't you? It's equivalent of John just saying that. Maybe you don't, but you know, we know who won and we know who lost. We know the outcome. And this is what he's saying. Remember all those battles that took place here. But this is a ruse by God. Do you remember it was a ruse by God when he enticed all the Egyptians into the Red Sea? Yeah? To devour them. Yeah? It's exactly the same here. It's a ruse saying, okay, I'm going to dry up the river Euphrates. In other words, from the east again, I'm going to just let you all come, you gods, you kingdoms of this world, I'm going to let you come. And when you come, you think you're going to attack the saints. But don't you remember the story in Exodus? Because the story in Exodus says you come, but you don't even get a chance to fire one arrow. You don't get a chance to shoot one shot. You do not have an opportunity to actually fight. What will actually happen is that you will be destroyed once and for all. So when the seventh bowl is poured out, the kingdoms of this world will collapse. There will be no battle between saints and those who worship the kingdoms of this world. See, God is leading the worshippers of Satan to their final destruction. This destruction of evil by, we discover in chapter 19 of Revelation, by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The point of the bowls is that the earth is now sanctified. It's cleansed, it's clean, evil is gone, creation is restored. The people who have been enslaved by evil are now delivered by God and can now walk in the renewed heaven and earth. Does that make sense to you? Yeah? The bowls are cleansing. It's his righteousness. It's getting rid of evil once and for all. That's good news. That's good news. And the contribution is in the passage. Revelation 16:15 says, behold, I am coming like a thief. Remember, the point of Revelation is to bless us. Blessed are the ones who stay awake, keeping their garments on, that they may not go about naked and be seen exposed. We know thieves come unexpectedly. We know that this is something that's been talked about in the book of Matthew, Thessalonians, and Peter. It's something that we know that he will come like a thief in the night. So stay awake. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Stay awake. Keep your oil. Keep the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself fresh and alive. Don't get lulled into forgetting about the great commandment. Don't get lulled into forgetting about the great commission. Don't get lulled into forgetting to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I don't know about you, but I can name two times in my life I've fallen asleep. Do you know what I mean? I've just got lulled into the way of life. And I've just forgotten who I am and who God is and the great commission. But the idea is I can't be blessed in that state. I am blessed when I stay awake and keep my garments on. I think I said the other week, just like John had this vision, I had this vision of going into the garment room in heaven. And I mean, that's a whole nother sermon. But the idea is that there are garments throughout Scripture that are talked about. Isaiah 61, we have the garments of salvation and a robe of righteousness. We have the armor of God that somebody was talking about the other day. We have so much that we've got to put on and stuff the clothes that we've got to get off. That is scriptural, and that's what he is saying here. So our contribution is to stay awake and to keep our garments on. So to conclude, what we find is every time God's wrath, like in Exodus, remember at the end of the Red Sea, they sing a song, they praise God. Again, in the book of Revelation, it feels a little bit harsh, but to me, we shouldn't be embarrassed by this. They sing a song, they celebrate. And why are they celebrating? Because evil has been destroyed. That's why they sing, that's why they celebrate. God's wrath is his justice being executed for his people on earth. It's how he delivers us from evil. It's how he defeats once and for all the evil gods and those who repeatedly refuse to repent and continue to partner with evil. Are you ready for Christ's return? Remember, the point is that the blessing is there if we're ready for Christ's return. Or is there anything you would do or say if you knew Christ was coming tomorrow? If you haven't realized who God is, how great he is, how he is over all other gods, what if he does return tomorrow? My prayer is that today you would say yes to Jesus Christ. Yes, to say, actually, I see that you are Almighty God. I see that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is what's going to happen, and we know it's going to happen, and we know it's true because it's happened in the past. This is how God is going to deliver us. Do you want to follow those gods, the gods of this world, the way of this world, or do you want to follow Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of this world, who is righteous and true and just? But I don't know about you. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I was challenged by this message. So I wrote a prayer of confession, and I wonder if you want to join me in it. And so we're just going to confess, maybe, because I'd love us to have this almost clean slate with God. Have we been lulled into anything? If we have, let's just confess that and let's move on in the power of God's presence and his Spirit. So if you're okay, I'd love you to pray this prayer with me now. God of tender mercy, we admit that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. We get lulled into the world's way of thinking and being, and do not seek your kingdom first or your righteousness. Forgive us when we have not loved you with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength, and not loved others as ourselves. Forgive us for not going into all the world as your witnesses, sharing the good news and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all you have commanded. Forgive us for not following the promptings of the Holy Spirit, or living in the fruits of the Spirit, or walking with the Spirit of God each day. Thank you that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, empower us to be imitators of Christ in love and disciple making. Thank you that our repentance, our turning to follow Jesus again, activates your mercy and grace. Fill us with your love, power, and presence. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's just pause for a few seconds and just allow his power and his presence just to fill you afresh, ready for this week. Just allow the Holy Spirit to come. Amen.